The Entrepreneurista League is here. You told us what you wanted. Exclusive game-changing business-boosting content, members-only events to network and connect, the opportunity to have your story and business featured on Entrepreneurista.com, the chance to promote your business to our audience on the Entrepreneurista social channels. Your wish has been granted. Introducing the Entrepreneurista League. When you join the Entrepreneurista League, you will get access to our private community of entrepreneuristas who are making an impact in business every single day. Whether you're looking to scale your business, meet potential investors, make exciting business building connections, or finally take the leap to launch your business and share the candid reality of building a business from the ground up, we are here to give you access to a community of women who will celebrate and support you every step of the way. Applications are open, so head over to entrepreneurista.com/join for a special offer. That's entrepreneurista.com/join. We can't wait to welcome you, support you, and be the best part of your business growth.
We're looking for people to partner with who maybe have been touched by infertility themselves, or they know somebody who has, and with 1 in 8 women and with 40% of infertility being male factor related, if this has touched almost everybody, if it's not you, it's somebody in your family, or it's a friend, or a friend of a friend.
Mother-daughter duo Pamela Hirsch and Nicole Lawson founded businesses and nonprofits in the infertility space. Pamela founded BabyQuest, a nonprofit 501c3 dedicated to granting financial assistance to those who cannot afford the high costs associated with alternative means of conception, such as IVF, egg donation, and surrogacy. Nicole is the co-owner of Abundant Beginnings, a surrogacy agency where she provides both a personal and professional outlook for her clients around surrogacy. Tune in to hear how these two incredible women are spreading both hope and assistance to people hoping to start and grow a family. Coming up, Nicole shares her pregnancy journey and the inspiration for co-founding Abundant Beginnings, Pamela's subsequent desire to launch BabyQuest, and her passion for spreading hope. Pamela shares how she navigated fiscal responsibility during BabyQuest's early stages, the importance of surrogacy access and education, and finally, how you can get involved in the amazing work that Nicole and Pamela are both doing.
This is the Entrepreneurista Podcast, presented by Socialfly.
It's the best business meeting you'll ever have, with must-hear real-life looks at how leading women in business are getting it done
and what it takes to build and grow a successful company.
It's beyond the gram.
With no filters,
no limits,
and plenty of surprises. Pamela and Nicole, I am so excited to finally sit down with you both and have this conversation. Pamela, I'll share a background with our audience. We had connected several years ago when I was going through my own journey with infertility. And I remember when I was going through everything and realizing, you know, the expenses of going through our journey and how hard everything was, I kept thinking, you know, how is there not a nonprofit to be able to help women that are going through this with, you know, their finances and getting grants to be able to do fertility treatments? And I went to a Google search and I found you. And then I saw friends that were talking about you and your organization and we got connected. So I'm so glad to finally sit down and have this conversation with both of you to talk about how both of your journeys really led to, you know, your business, Nicole, and your nonprofit, Pamela. So thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nicole, I want to start with you because I know it was your personal journey and story that really led to both of your businesses now. Can you share with me a little bit about your journey and personal story and how it led to you starting your business?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, thank you so much for having me this morning and just really appreciate it. You know, it's funny, we all have our stories of what led us to third-party reproduction, and mine is sort of no different than so many others. But I met my husband when I was all of 19 and figured, oh, okay, we'll date for a few years and have a baby and buy a house. And it's like that typical, you know, fairy tale story. And surprisingly, even when I met him at 19, we did decide to get married eventually. And I was 25. And then at 28, we're like, oh, let's go to Europe to make a baby. Like, you know, it's, oh, it'll happen there. And obviously it didn't. And that was sort of the first, like, I thought I would just get pregnant easily. Like nobody really thinks like, oh, I'm going to be that person. Like at the time my sister had struggled with her first and she went through IVF and I'm like, oh, that's her. That's not going to be me. It'll just be easy. So it didn't happen right away. And I did the typical steps of, you know, talking to the OB about it. And the first thing was, oh, let's just do a round of Clomid. And, you know, there's always those first initial things that they throw out you. And the amazing thing was we did end up getting pregnant really easily with Clomid. I'm like, oh, okay, this was great. This is so easy. No problem. And then, of course, I go in for the heartbeat check. And that was the first time where there was no heartbeat. And it was kind of like, oh, okay, like what just happened? And that one was really hard. Like it was a hard miscarriage. And one that, you know, you can't just ask your, you know, nobody talked about it. And mind you, this was a number of years ago where miscarriages were just so taboo and nobody wanted to admit, you know, nobody wants to admit it now, but I feel like it was just so much, you know, hush hush a number of years ago. So I didn't really talk about it. And the doctor's like, just try again. So tried again. And this time it wasn't happening so easily. So anyways, we tried a number of other things, went through a few rounds of IVF, suffered, you know, another miscarriage, the exact same thing happened. The second time I was more angry and pissed. I'm like, okay, what's going on? And then of course, the third time, I'm like, I'm 29 years old. Like, this isn't normal. And I still, you know, of course, every miscarriage that you have, you still remember the exact place where you were, who you were surrounded with, what emotions you were feeling, and even just being in those doctor's offices. Like, that's such a, you know, those are such triggering moments for women who go through this. And it's really hard to get out of that negative space to try to be like, okay, just relax or just, you know, don't think about it. It's going to be fine. So I always really feel for women who have to go through this and try to get on the other side to say, you know what, like there is, you know, there can be a happy ending to all of this. But when you're in that space, it's really hard. So anyways, after a number of years, finally a doctor, and this was through, you know, number of IUIs and IVFs and surgeries, and you have this, no, you have this. And so finally at 30, I think it was, the doctor, I went to a few different doctors and finally this third doctor was like, you know what, your uterus is just not shaped to carry a baby. And I was like, oh, like, thank you. Like, thank God somebody
give you an answer.
You know, yeah. Like, because you know what, for me, at least there was an answer, where a lot of people, there is no answer and it's always just, you know, keep trying or, you know, there are no answers. And that's what's so frustrating with this whole thing. And you have no control over it. So anyways, the doctor was like, you need to get a surrogate. And I was like, I don't even know what that is, but I guess I'm like, but I think I still am going to keep trying on myself. And she's like, no, like you need to get a surrogate. And so I didn't even call my husband. I called my mom. I'm like, oh my God, you know, and I remember I was in Beverly Hills walking, you know, down the street with tears in my eyes. Like, she says, I need a surrogate. I don't know what that is. And I think
Pamela, do you remember that moment when,
oh God, yes, of course.
Yeah. And it's, I'm like, I think the celebrities just get them. I think I read it in People magazine, but oh my God, like, what do I do? And she, and I'm like, it's so expensive. We can't afford it. Like, we're never going to have kids. This is it. You know? And she was like, do not worry. We're getting a surrogate. We'll take care of it. And I'm like, how do you even know what that is? She's like, oh, no. I got it taken care of. And we were like, you know, okay, sure. And so, and thank God, you know, fast forward, we were full speed ahead. It was like, we want a baby. So if the surrogate is the route we're going to take, and thank God for our parents who financially helped us, because at 30, we had spent a boatload of money just doing the IVF for the past 4 years. But so by the time they're like, oh, you need a surrogate, we're like, well, we have no money left. So that sucks. But okay. And so then we ended up getting a surrogate, and we went through an agency at the time, and I was working in the entertainment business for a number of years. It was a friend of a friend who had used an agency. That's the one that I went with. And I felt you feel so alone. Like, it's a really lonely process and it's really scary. And I couldn't call, like, obviously I had the support of family, but I couldn't call a best friend and be like, hey, I need a surrogate. Like, what should I expect? What is this like? What emotions am I going to feel? And so I felt very isolated and alone. But for my husband and I, we wanted a baby. We didn't care how it came. It's like, just give me a baby and let me know what I need to do. So we fully embraced the process and trusted it. And we had a great journey, and our surrogate got pregnant on the first try, and it was amazing and beautiful. And we had our own bumps, but again, it was just focusing on the pregnancy and the baby. And so during that journey, I realized, like, and we're a lot of people, like, you go through something, you don't ever realize why you go through this journey, but clearly we went through this journey for a reason. And I wanted to be able to pay it forward in that way. So it was sort of a twofold. And I think they actually happened very on the same year. Honestly, it was sort of like after our daughter was born, it was, can you imagine these people who didn't have money to do this? And so obviously that is how BabyQuest started. It was sort of like, oh my God, if we couldn't do this, like, where would we be today? So that was the BabyQuest route. And then for me, with a surrogacy agency, I wanted so much more from my own personal experience. I wanted to be able to share my story, share with those who are struggling through this, and just be a voice where it's okay to talk about this. Like, it's it can be embarrassing or it can be emotional, and there's so many unknowns, but I wanted to be able to help others in that way. So that is why I left entertainment and started my surrogacy agency to go down this path. And it's been awesome ever since. That's my story. Sorry, that was long.
No, I'm so glad you shared everything with such detail, because I think, you know, so many women and entrepreneurs that we speak to have these personal experiences and stories that make such an impact on their life and their purpose and propel them forward to want to start something to make a change and make a difference. And you both have done that. And it's truly incredible. And I know it's no easy feat to build what you have both built. What year, Nicole and Pamela, did you both start the two businesses? Well, business and nonprofit.
BabyQuest started in 2011. In 2011, August of 2011, I got our 501c3 approval. I was almost paralyzed at that point and waited about 4 months and was having lunch with a friend. And she said, well, you're going to do anything or not? It's the end of the year. It's time to send out letters for tax donations and so forth. And sorry, Nikki made me cry. And we gave out our first grants in March of 2012. So BabyQuest is celebrating a 10-year anniversary this month. I went from not knowing very much about surrogacy and infertility, learning through what Nicole went through. As Nikki was talking, the family suffers not as much, obviously, but you asked about if I could remember where I was. I can remember where I was every time she had a no heartbeat doctor's appointment. I can tell you exactly where I was, and the crying doesn't stop. And it's even harder because it's your daughter and you want to do whatever you can. And we were very, very fortunate and financially blessed that when Nikki called me that day and said, we need a surrogate, that was to me the beginning. It was like, okay, there's hope, there's light there. We can do this. And even if there are bumps in the road, we're going to get this done. As far as BabyQuest is concerned, I think it was right after Zoe was born. I woke up one Saturday, and I will always remember that minute, that we need to have a charity that covers this. And I had run another business that I had retired from a few years before, the Princeton Review Test Prep Company, and I was one of the founders of that. And I knew that I had the business experience and the marketing experience to do something, but I had never worked in the nonprofit world. So it was a true adventure. And looking back, it's been a 10-year, thank goodness, success story, but you never know at the beginning.
So I want to hear about the beginning, Pamela, of setting up and starting a nonprofit. I know a lot of women that I speak to have, you know, desires to set up nonprofits. And I know it's, you know, while it's similar in how you run a nonprofit like a business, it is different in terms of the structure and setup process. And I know there's a lot of different nuances. Can you share what that process was like and maybe some early learning lessons, mistakes you made that can help others who want to start now?
Yeah. As I said, I came into it with a business expertise, and that was by trial and error. My husband has an MBA. He has all the formal experience with finance. I had a lot of 20 years of practical experience running a company. And basically, I just said, this is going to be run as a company, as if it were a for-profit company. The overhead is going to be very low. I'm sitting here in my family room, which is where I spend the majority of my time. I have been very blessed. This is the first year that I will take a salary from BabyQuest. There's been no salaries paid up to the first 10 years. I said it was going to be three, and then it kind of kept going. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, we've been doing this for 10 years. I'm going to. Just being fiscally responsible and being a workaholic doesn't hurt. It hurts because I don't delegate as much as I should. And that's definitely an issue I have. I don't separate work, life, and balance. I didn't with Princeton Review many of the years till I got towards the end of my time there. And I have a hard time doing that now because I'll get a message. I'll look at my phone at 9 at night and I will be obsessive about answering a message, which is not healthy. But having the passion and really enjoying what I do. I mean, I was just mentioning to Nicole before we got on the phone, I just got a message from a woman, a recipient in Washington State, and she's going through a second retrieval from, she has a daughter from her first retrieval and the second one. And she wrote me a message telling me how supportive BabyQuest was, not just financially, but as far as support. She had been abused. She went through domestic abuse and abuse as a child. And she wrote this, I was crying before, I had a good start on this, that we gave her a sense of worth by giving her a grant and allowing her to become a parent, kind of righting the wrongs that had happened to her. And she's having her second daughter. And it just blew me away, what she wrote. So the rewards like that make all the work really worth it.
Well, the work you're both doing is making such an impact and helping so many people. Nicole, I would love to hear about the early days of starting your agency. And when did you make that decision? You know, I'm leaving the entertainment industry. I'm going to start the surrogacy agency. And what were some of your first steps?
I remember. So my daughter, my oldest, my goal was to always be a mom. So the minute she was born, it was like, I didn't want to separate from her, obviously. And so I had a really hard time going back to work, and I didn't like my job at the time either. So that clearly didn't help the situation, but they had a daycare on the lot that I was working. So I would drive with her every day and I would have my lunch with her. And I would go home crying to my husband, like, I hate my job. I didn't go through all of this to still be in entertainment. But we needed both incomes. And so at the time, so this was 2011, I said, you know what, I think I'm going to quit my job and go just start cold calling some surrogacy agencies and see if I can get a job. I need to know the business side of things. I'd never run a business before. Obviously, I'd watched my mom run a business, but had never done it myself. And so I got a job at a surrogacy agency back in 2011, making $0. I was working for some doctors in Beverly Hills that had an in-house agency at the time. And I got to work from home and I got to be with my daughter. And so I was sort of like, it was the best of both worlds. I got to actually learn a totally different set of skills and get involved in surrogacy as well as be home more. So I loved it, even though we were probably eating peanut butter and jelly for dinner because we couldn't afford anything, but it was fine. And so about 2.5 years in, and my second daughter was about to be born by a surrogate, the doctors of the surrogacy agency said, you know what, we don't have time to run this business anymore. We're gonna be done. And I was like, you have intended parents that are mid-cycle. You can't just drop them. And their doc, like this, they didn't think about it. And they were like, so what are our choices? And I was just a case manager at the time. I wasn't, didn't have a high position in this agency whatsoever. So at the time I told my boss, I was like, you know what? I want to run my own agency. What if we suggested a plan to take everything over from them? So it'll benefit them. It's going to benefit us. And that was in 2013. So with their blessing, we basically took over the agency, changed our name, and became Abundant Beginnings. And that's, you know, 9 years ago. And I remember my second daughter, Talia, was born. And, you know, during the middle of the night feedings, I would be working and, you know, setting up our business license and doing this and this. And it was so intense and so crazy, but so rewarding on so many levels. And my partner and I get along so well, and we have the same exact mentality on how we treat our clients, how we run an agency, and just the passion that we have to help others through this process in the most honest and ethical way is so rewarding. And so we're just really proud of the agency that we've created. And it hasn't been easy, you know, obviously starting a business is always, always challenging, but it's funny, like, you know, using something that had a foundation, and the doctors and the attorneys and everyone we work with, we had a really positive name in the industry already, made it easier. But yeah, I still can't believe it's over 9 years. So.
Wow. And look, everything you said, it's definitely not easy to start and run and grow a business. But when you're doing something that you love and you're so passionate about, I always say, you know, it doesn't even feel like work. It's obviously it is, but when you are making such an impact and you're able to get joy and you're in the business of helping people, it's so rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next up, you'll learn about BabyQuest grant application process and upcoming collaborations. Hey, entrepreneuristas, as we all know, every minute counts when running a business. That's why we are so excited to introduce you to an amazing time-saving customer support solution, Text Expander. When you use Text Expander, you will have an edge over your competition by speeding up your customer support and replies through easy-to-format snippets that will save you time when typing. With Text Expander, there's less repetition, fewer errors, and consistent messaging that will keep your growing team aligned and working efficiently. All right, here's how it works. Drop commonly used content like email templates and FAQs into Text Expander to create a snippet and assign an abbreviation like FAQ. Then type the abbreviation to trigger your snippet and see your content expand. You can use your snippets on any device, in any program, and share them with your growing team. It's that easy. You do not want to miss out on your opportunity to save valuable time and get more done with the power of Text Expander, which is available on Mac, Windows, Chrome, iPhone, and iPad. And you know we always have a special discount for our listeners. You can save 20% off your first year by visiting textexpander.com/podcast. That's textexpander.com/podcast. Pamela, I would love to hear about what you're most proud about, you know, having launched this incredible nonprofit, having helped so many people. Is there a moment that you're most proud of or something that you've accomplished?
Well, obviously, I'm proud of the fact that we have 120, I can't remember if the 126 or 127 babies that we've produced, but whatever it is, each one is a special story. It's interesting because sometimes I'll look at the names of some. I had to compose a list of some people from a specific area last night for a project. And I look at the names and I think, oh, they have, you know, twins now. I remember when this person sent in an application or when they first called and they were desperate and they were talking about lacking insurance coverage and they had sold half of their possessions. And just to think that each one of those babies or each one of the grants, and there have been about 190 grants that we've given, each one of those grants, whether it's turned into a baby or twins or, you know, whatever has happened, there's been the idea that we've given hope to these people. And I think that's what's the most rewarding. There is a definite person calls, person applies, you look at the applications, you give a grant, and then there's a baby, you hope. And you know you've accomplished something because it's so tangible. And to me, that's the most rewarding. And unfortunately, there are people who are awarded grants and they're not successful. And there is no, this is not a precise science. It's unfortunate and it's disappointing, but I would say that just knowing that we've given hope has really been important.
Pamela, can you share the process both for someone who would be looking to apply for the grant, what that looks like? And then I know many of our listeners are looking to find ways to give back, to help other women and families. You know, how can they get involved with BabyQuest?
Okay, a twofold answer to your question. First of all, the process. The process involves for somebody who is applying for a grant, because we say on our website, there's like the website and then there's two branches, applying. You look at the website, you read the eligibility requirements, you print out the application, you take part of it to your doctor, 3 pages, you send in a $50 application fee. We do this twice a year. We just had a grant deadline March 15th. The next one will be September 7th. It takes a committee composed of people like Nicole and her partner, Julie, and an IVF coordinator from a clinic, women's health advocates. It takes them about 4 weeks to 6 weeks to consider the applications. Those are then sent to a financial committee. Then they're sent to our medical team. Then we finally, and this will be pretty much before National Fertility Awareness Week this year, we will announce the recipients. We will talk to everybody, tell everybody whether they received the grant or they didn't, but we will do some final questionnaires. That's for people who apply. People who would love to donate, who we really appreciate, it can be done on our website. And there's something special that I wanted to just mention. We are really trying to approach corporations to enable them to enhance their charitable giving platform. And for example, Abundant Beginnings, along with 6 other companies this cycle, have established what we call the Giving Hope Grant. Nicole and Julie from Abundant Beginnings have awarded a $12,000 grant to BabyQuest so that we can select one of our recipients who will be aligned with them, and they're supporting one of our recipients. There are 6 others. There's an escrow company called Seed Trust Escrow. There are a few couples, individual people who have donated a certain amount, which is $12,000 minimum, and they will be assigned a recipient. And there are a few people who would like to remain anonymous who have donated. But through these donations, we're able to add recipients. And if a company is interested in this, we have a complete packet to send them. If it's somebody like one of the entrepreneuristas, for example, who has a marketing product, if they want to set up something lesser, for example, we're starting a partnership with a company called Bake My Melissa. And yes, this is a bakery. And I'm anxious to try them because I haven't tried them yet.
They're delicious.
But, yes. And we're in love with them. And they are going to be doing a Mother's Day benefit for BabyQuest, where a certain amount of proceeds will come from their Mother's Day sales. And we're very excited about that. So we are so open to working with companies, to working with we have an Instagrammer person who has some jewelry on electric picks, Laura Beverlin, who is a wonderful contributor, and she has 2 million followers. So we love that. We are very active on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And as I said, we're looking for people to partner with who maybe have been touched by infertility themselves, or they know somebody who has. And with 1 in 8 women, and with 40% of infertility being male factor related, if this has touched almost everybody, if it's not you, it's somebody in your family, or it's a friend, or a friend of a friend. So we're looking for people to pay it forward, just like Nicole and I have been doing.
Pamela, I think that is such a wonderful idea to really be able to include entrepreneuristas and other brand partners to really help, you know, bridge that gap. I feel like so many businesses do want to be able to give back and show that their company is giving back and truly make an impact. So that's such a wonderful program. And I'm glad you shared it, because I bet a lot of our entrepreneuristas would be interested. And let's definitely chat after this, because I'm already brainstorming other ways that we can partner together and help raise more money for BabyQuest, because it's so important. Pamela, how many applications do you typically receive and how many grants are you able to give out so we can figure out how much more money do we need to raise to help everyone?
Well, we need a lot. In fact, wasn't this time, but I think it was last time, my husband walked by and I'm like, what are we going to do? We've got all these people. They all need money. And he was like joking. He said, well, how much money do you need? I said, I need $300,000 to fund everybody who I really want to fund. And that still leaves people out. We don't have that, obviously. The applications have ebbed and flowed because of COVID. I have to say we're seeing an increase this cycle over the last few hundred, you know, that we got. On a positive note, I think we're getting not quite as many as we did the first few years because, thank goodness, I think more employers are starting to be cognizant of the need for covering this through their companies, which is a positive sign. Maybe it'll be so positive that in 5 years, there won't even be a need for BabyQuest, which would be great if there was total coverage for infertility. I don't know if that's going to happen, but in any case, it's a goal. So as far as the number, we were very blessed at the end of last year and with these corporations that have stepped up. So I truly think that we're going to be able to give out close to $140,000 or $150,000 this time, probably spread out among 10 or 11 applicants. Don't know who they are yet, but that's pretty much our goal. Last time was a little fewer. I think it was 6. Time before that, we were just getting into COVID, so it was 12. So, you know, it's all dependent on how much money we take in, how many donations, how many people step up to do the grants like Nicole and Julie are doing and Seed Trust. And one other thing I was going to mention, when Seed Trust Escrow first became the first actual company to do this, one of the positives that the head of the company said was, you know, we give out Christmas gifts every year. We spend hundreds of dollars on Christmas gifts and we send out candy or wine or whatever. And probably half of it doesn't even get appreciated or eaten or whatever. So they just decided, they put in their newsletter, we're not sending you gifts. We're putting that money into giving somebody a baby. And it's definitely a selling point, I think, to their clientele, that they're doing something that really means something.
Makes impact. That's so wonderful. Nicole, I would love to hear from you really about your business and your business model and how does a surrogacy agency actually work? Because I know most people that are listening probably have no insight into the background of what a surrogacy agency actually means.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm happy to share. So most of the time, you know, our clients, majority of the time are referred by third-party doctors, reproductive doctors. Most of the time, you know, a couple, you know, whether it's a gay couple or a hetero couple, they go into their doctor and they're talking to them. They have their embryos already and the doctor either says or they know going into it, you need to get a surrogate. So most of the time, the clinics will refer to our agency at that point. Or other ways are, you know, a friend of a friend who had used us and then their friend needs a surrogate. And so they find us in that way. But the first step is they call us and they say, you know, we just listen to their story, hear where they're at in the process. And some of them, they don't know what their next steps are. They just want somebody to talk to and just get advice. Or they come to us and they're like, hey, we need a surrogate. This is what we want. And they know exactly what they need. And there's a lot of information out there that is incorrect, or there's just so much information. There's so many agencies that a lot of people get lost on where in the world to start. So obviously, when they reach out to our agency, we immediately, you know, want to take them in and protect them and support them and give them the proper advice and guidance that is needed without overspending. Or if they say, oh, my doctor says I should try this. Like, again, we're not doctors. Sometimes we like to play them. We've been doing this a long time and we've seen a lot. So sometimes we'll say, oh, well, have they tried this? Or did they suggest this? And so sometimes it's hard because everyone comes to surrogacy in their own time. And when you're not ready to embrace it or accept it, you're just not ready. And that's okay. You have to get there when you're ready. But the first step is just listening, talking, seeing what they're looking for in a surrogate. As far as
the first step in the process is finding a surrogate. So we, and obviously our job is both sides. We have intended parents that are clients, and then we have surrogates that are clients. So 50% of our job is screening surrogates and recruiting them and bringing them in, and who wants to be a surrogate. And that's the really the most challenging part, because the qualifications are so strict, and who qualifies to be a surrogate is really very few. And these women who want to do this are just, it's like, it's amazing when you speak with them, because they have such big hearts. And this is not something that they thought about overnight. And the ones that usually thought about it overnight never qualify, or they weed themselves out, because it is such a huge commitment. It is not something, you know, everyone will be like, oh, they're just doing it for the money. They get paid so much. And honestly, you know what? If the money helps them, that's fantastic, because they're giving somebody a baby and a blessing. So it is 100% a two-way street, but there's so much more to it. And these women are just, they're amazing. So first is matching. You're going to match with a surrogate. And as an agency, we've, again, done this a long time, so we know what the doctors are looking for. We follow all of what is called these ASRM guidelines. So we know exactly what qualifications that a surrogate needs to have to be a good surrogate. So you match with a surrogate, and then the doctor screens them. And then once they're cleared, they do legal. And then they get on meds, and then hopefully, fingers crossed, they're pregnant and they have a baby 8 months, 9 months later. So that's in the simplest terms, that's sort of the process. And for us, it's so simple. Like, everyone feels so overwhelmed when they first start looking into this. And for us, we're like, oh no, we'll take care of you. It's easy, you know, but it's scary. It's really scary, because there's so much trust, and everybody is really anxious coming into this, and so much fear, and it's so expensive, and we respect that. And it's really just listening to intended parents, listening to their fears and what they're looking for in a surrogate, and just allowing them to trust the process, which it's hard. It's hard to let go, and it's educating, and also managing relationships, managing the relationship that these clients build with their surrogate, because it's all new territory for most of, you know, if it's not an experienced surrogate, it's all new territory that everyone is traveling on.
No, absolutely. And, you know, the people that you're working with have probably already been through so much leading up to coming to you, and definitely an emotional time. And most of our listeners know, who have been listening to this podcast for a long time, because I have been very open about my journey with infertility and then our complicated pregnancy journey, that we've been exploring surrogacy for hopefully having our next child. And something that I learned from our infertility journey and just like diving into just go and doing everything, because we just wanted to, you know, get to the finish line, and not doing enough research up front, was that, you know, for this process, I have taken time to just start educating myself as much as possible and learning as much as possible, so then I can make really informed decisions going forward. Because like you said, Nicole, it is so much information and so much learning, and it's expensive too, and a big decision to decide to move forward or not. So definitely hear everything that you're sharing. I have a question for you, Nicole.
Yeah.
With marketing your agency, because you mentioned, you know, you have to be able to reach, you know, intended parents. You also have to be able to reach women who would be interested in carrying. How do you get the word out about your agency and reach those specific markets?
But when it comes to intended parents, we don't market really for intended parents. And that, we've been very fortunate to have built relationships with clinics around the country that refer to us. And we're so beyond thankful to that, as well as different, there's many different concierge services that where intended parents will go to those services, and those services are aware of the high quality of service we provide. So they'll refer to our agency, or attorneys refer to us. So in that way, again, we don't do too much marketing for intended parents. When it comes to surrogates, that's a whole different ballgame. And they are an extremely hard target to reach, because that there are so few women who A, want to do this. I mean, it's you know, it's a really, these women who do sign up to it, they either saw somebody who has done it, or it's something that they read about it. And when they, it's crazy, when we talk to the surrogates, they'll be like, well, yeah, when I was in high school, I saw the story and I knew I wanted to be a surrogate. And we're like, oh, okay. And now you're 24 and your family's complete. And here they are, they're back. And it's amazing. And we hear that story over and over again, but it's something that they have it built in them where they want to be able to help somebody in that capacity. So that target is much harder to reach. We do a lot of marketing. I would say 90% though are referrals. So it's surrogates who have used us before, and then they refer a friend of a friend, and then that person refers a friend of a friend. So it's about 90% is referrals when it comes to our surrogates.
Do you think that, you know, a lot of times we hear, obviously in the media with celebrities who have had children via surrogate, those are the stories that we hear in the media. Do you think those stories have helped or hurt, you know, the world of surrogacy just from what people are hearing? Because I feel like there probably are a lot of misconceptions, and maybe you can share just based on the stories in the media.
You know, I think it's both, honestly. Like, obviously you hear those crazy stories of a surrogate not giving the baby back, or intended parents asking the surrogate to terminate because they wanted a boy and it was a girl, whatever those stories are. And those are the sensationalized stories where you assume an agency and attorney probably were not used, or it was a family friend that did it for them. And again, there was no legal contract in place, because those stories don't happen when you have an attorney and you have a contract in place. I think the biggest thing is when you hear the celebrity stories, it's just that they make it seem easy, and it really comes back to the money. Like, if you have money, yeah, the process is super easy, because money helps. Like, you don't have to think about it. And the stress that trying to budget for surrogacy is really challenging. And there are no ways to do this cheaply. I mean, honestly, you can't get around trying to do this for under $100,000. I mean, now, like when I did it, I mean, I feel blessed because, what was it, 80, 90, where now most people are looking at 150, 200. I mean, obviously just the world we're in, base fees for surrogates are going up and up. And I totally respect and appreciate that. IVF clinics prices are going up, agency fees are going up, because, you know, it's a big process. So when people come to us, and our agency is extremely sensitive, somebody says, hey, I have a budget of 120, how can I do this? And there are ways. The most cost savings ways are, you know, finding a surrogate whose base fee is going to be a little bit lower. Maybe she has health insurance that can be used. Maybe she doesn't work, so there's no lost wages involved. So there are ways to look at this to save. But I think, yeah, the biggest misconception is it's just, oh, how easy it is. And yeah, if you have money, it's easy.
Well, this is why nonprofits like yours, Pamela, exist.
We just need more money.
We need to raise more money. And that's part of why we're having this conversation, so more people can find out about BabyQuest. And if they would like to partner with you to help put together these amazing grants to help as many people as possible, and help everyone who wants to have a baby, have a baby. That's what I talk about all the time. I just want to help everyone have the baby that they want. And I think we all feel that way.
Yep.
Up next, how you can get involved and help the BabyQuest Foundation. We host lots of virtual event programming for our Entrepreneurista community, and we want to be sure that you are in the know with all of our upcoming events. To get exclusive invites, head over to entrepreneurista.com and sign up for our email list so you do not miss out. You can come to our events to network, to learn, and of course, to get inspired. That's entrepreneurista.com to sign up for our list. And I cannot wait to meet you at our next event. All right, Pamela and Nicole, this is one of my favorite segments. I'm going to do a few rapid fire questions that you both can answer. The first word or words that come to your mind. Are you ready?
I guess.
So normally when it's just one person, I would say, Nicole, describe yourself in three words, but actually Pamela, describe Nicole in three words.
Oh God, I've known her for way too long, her whole life. Grown up. She'll know why I said that. Amazing. And I'm going to cry. professional.
And Nicole, describe Pamela in three words.
Amazing, passionate, and the hardest worker I've ever seen.
She is. She totally is. Pamela, where is your happy place?
Oh, when I'm with my daughters and my granddaughters, but also when I leave, when we've been together, because it's much more quiet.
Nicole, where's your happy place?
And just playing with my girls, honestly.
Love that. Pamela, do you have a hidden talent?
Yeah, I'm a trained, certified Pilates teacher.
Wow.
Which I did probably the oldest person to ever go through training when I moved to LA, because I had sold Prince Review, had gone public, and I didn't know what to do with my life. And Baby Quest hadn't started. So yes, that's my hidden talent.
Love it. Nicole, do you have a hidden talent?
No. I got nothing. I'm so boring.
I think you have a good talent. It might not be hidden. You help families. You help create families. So
thank you. That's a good one then. I'll take it.
You notice neither of us said anything domestic like cooking. It is skipped to generate. Actually, she's better than I am.
I don't have any of that either. I think when you're running businesses,
it's called DoorDash.
Sorry, unless you're in the food business. Nicole, is there a favorite business tool or solution that's really helped you grow your business?
COVID has brought around the use of Zoom a lot more than I ever imagined, but it actually has enabled, I feel, us to connect even more with clients all over the world instead of just using other forms without seeing it. Like, there's so much you can do seeing somebody's face and facial expressions and just getting to know somebody better. So honestly, I've enjoyed the Zoom aspect of what COVID brought this past 2 years.
Me too. Pamela, how about you? Favorite business tool?
The Zoom thing is really interesting. I agree with you, except I like when I don't have to bother putting makeup on with the Zoom, yeah. When I really know the people and I don't really care. But no, I think we did resort to Zoom with all of our recipient deliberations and our reviews. And it's really brought the group that we just met last week. There's seven of us, I think, some New Yorkers, some here, some in Ohio. And it's really made it fun to look forward to it and say hi to the people and really bring our group closer together. So I agree.
I love that. We have to get everyone on your team our DigiCards. Do you know about DigiCards for Zoom meetings?
No, I like that.
Courtney and I invented these during
that's awesome. When
we started to keep our team meetings more engaging and fun. So
that's cute.
You'll be getting some in the mail in your Entrepreneurista box that will be coming awesome. Next week. So you'll get to
start using them on our staff calls. I'll be like, what are you doing?
Yeah. So finally, I would like to ask each of you, what is your, biggest business tip or lesson that you want to share with someone who is thinking about starting a business or thinking about starting a nonprofit? Nicole, I'll start with you.
I think it just in life, it's balance. I know my mom said this earlier, life is work, but there has to be also that balance. And it's taken a long time for me to get to that place. But you have to be able, when you're so passionate about something, it is hard to shut down. But it's important to shut down at the end of the day and focus on life and health and family and to be able to have that. So
absolutely. And I know it's not easy because I'm the same. Yeah. I love working all day, every day, because I love what I'm doing.
Exactly. But
it's important to learn how to have some balance. And I always say, if we don't take care of ourselves, it's hard to take care of everyone else in our businesses.
Exactly.
So I totally relate. Pamela, how about you?
I'm not going to address the life and balance because I'm bad at that. And I know that. But I will say, I have been so fortunate to find both Princeton Review and Baby Quest to do things that I absolutely love. And that's the trick. I mean, I wake up at an early riser. Being in Los Angeles, I can get East Coast things done at 6:30 or 7. Then I work out and then I get back to the Pacific time people. But being blessed to do something that you really love, and then it doesn't seem like work.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. Final question. What does being an Entrepreneurista mean to each of you? Pamela, I'll start with you.
I am so impressed with the other women in this group being older. I'm probably the oldest one in the group, but seeing all their accomplishments and just seeing what opportunities are open to them that weren't open to me at the time. I mean, I grew up in an era when my mother was thrilled that I would find somebody to get married to, which I did 8 days after I graduated from college, which was even late. And I'm still married 50 some years later. But it's just amazing to see the, and by the way, I've worked every day of my life and had very short maternity leaves because I found things that I love doing. But just seeing what opportunities are available to women now is really amazing, and things that I didn't have.
Nicole, how about you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, sort of the same. I mean, it's just, it's always an honor to be in a group of women who are striving to, you know, just to pay it forward in so many different ways. And I think it's amazing.
Well, thank you both for being here and sharing both of your personal journeys and stories and how they led to both your surrogacy agency and BabyQuest. It's so incredible what you two are doing and the impact that you're making. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you, because you are both helping so, so many people. And it really is an honor to be able to talk with you and to share your story and your message. Where can everyone find you and follow you? And for those who might be interested in donating to BabyQuest, how can they do so? Pamela, if you want to go first.
Sure. Our website is babyquestfoundation.org. We have a donate button there. Again, babyquestfoundation.org. We are extremely active on Instagram at BabyQuest Grants, Twitter, and Facebook. You can look for us any of those places.
Wonderful. And we'll link to everything in the show notes as well. So if you're when you are listening now, check out the show notes and all the links will be there too. Nicole, how about you? Where can everyone find you and follow you?
Yep. Our website is abcsurrogacy.com. We do have some really amazing blogs on there as well, just from different perspectives about surrogacy, if anyone is interested. And also we're on Facebook, Instagram. We were on TikTok a little bit, trying to be hip and cool these days.
Thank you both again for being here. I'm Stephanie, and this is the best business meeting I've ever had. Hey, thanks for listening and leaving us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it. And we'd love to stay in touch with each of you. You can listen to all of our latest episodes at entreprenista.com and connect with us on Instagram at entreprenistas. We'd also love to invite you to join the Entreprenista League, our private membership community for trailblazing women. You can head over to entreprenista.com/the-league. We'll see you there. Wishing you a productive week ahead.